gentlemen, your attention, please.
Ma, the meatloaf!
These are exactly the kind of go-getters I want working on my EM50 project in Italy.
Oh, my gosh, that gave me a thrill.
Thank God it's
Boy, it's a beautiful Friday.
It is spectacular outside, Pete.
That's what I've been saying to people all day today. You know, it's a beautiful Friday. Too bad it's going to snow tomorrow.
Is it really going to snow? In the northern suburbs, they say snow, maybe a little bit of stickage.
It's going to snow. Yeah.
All day?
Do you remember what was it, 2 weeks ago?
I don't believe it.
David Plyer had the best line I've heard on this radio station this year.
Yeah?
He said the snow that we had a few weeks ago was like plowing, like shoveling Italian ice.
It was.
And the visual of that.
Sunday.
Because, yes, that's what I had to do. I had to shovel Italian ice because we had people coming over to our house that day.
It was a Sunday, and I was actually trudging down the street to go to church because it was Palm Sunday.
And it was one of those days you're thinking, okay,
was,
do I really
like
have to shovel or can I let it go?
No, the next day it melted because it was 60.
I know, but when you have people coming over.
Oh, you got to do something.
Yeah, you got to do that.
Oh, that's right. You had people coming over. Thanks for the invite.
Can we?
I didn't know that.
Can we tell people what you've been doing? I heard Dean talk about it this morning on the Steve Cochran show. It's Greek Easter weekend.
So Greek Easter is Sunday.
Yeah.
So it's a week after American Easter.
Now, if you're Greek Catholic, do you still celebrate Greek Orthodox
so
Easter?
So the beauty about being a half-breed like me is I get to celebrate American Easter and I get to celebrate Greek Easter. It's great. You get two parties.
Growing up, my great-grandmother was Greek Orthodox.
Mm-hmm. So you had two Easters.
We had two Easters growing up.
Yeah.
And I always remember the Easter Mass for Greek Orthodox was like 2.5 hours.
It's long.
It was just singing.
Yeah, it's long.
And, I'm 4 or 5 years old, and I just remember this Mass will never end.
You know,
it was never
the
over.
The Greek liturgies are long, but they're worth it, right? So when I was growing up, we would go to Catholic Mass on Saturday and then Greek church on Sunday.
Yeah.
I did a back-to-back, but this weekend is Greek Easter, so I'm having a big Greek dinner party. Why would I not? It's so fun. I love every single thing about planning a dinner party.
And
love it.
In true Jane Manzura's form, you have to do everything yourself.
I love doing everything myself. I've opened it up. A cousin is bringing an appetizer. Mm-hmm. I have some people bringing some champagne, and then I have another cousin bringing a dessert.
And what is your fiancé, Kurt, doing? Since you're recently engaged this year, I'm sure Kurt is helping with everything.
No. Well, he can set up the bar, but he'll set up the bar. Everyone's coming over at 2. He'll set up the bar at 1:45. So he doesn't quite understand. I think he's starting to understand because I've done it before, but it's days of prep, right? So there's this grocery and there's tablescaping and cooking.
I grew up with this.
I made all the linens.
Anybody that's listening right now that has Mediterranean blood, it's the entire weekend preparation and then people show up at 2:00 on Sunday.
Like right now, I should be rolling dolmadas.
Which are grape leaves.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
When are you going to do that?
Well, I don't. I'm not. I'm going to make the fasulyeki maybe tonight.
I need to beat that? What was that? I don't even know what that is.
Make
what
the
is
pasticcio
it?
Tomorrow because it's always better when it sits overnight and then you reheat it.
I picked up
my lamb today. A fasulyeki is green beans.
Okay.
In Turkish, it's fasulye.
Oh, see?
Wait, do I need to beat that too?
Yes.
We're all near each other. Greek, Lebanese, and Turkish. I love it.
And in the same studio.
So, Elif, you understand all this type of food and the preparation and the whole that goes into
it. It's a huge tablescaping. You said that, and I immediately thought of the hundreds of times that my mom and I have been doing the same thing.
I've set the table like light right this morning. So I kind of put it up to see what it's going to look like. And then I'm going to go back and iron everything. But I did sew all the table runners. They have the Greek key.
Oh my gosh.
Sewed all the napkins.
I have a headache listening
because
to this.
Because I love it. I have to outdo myself every year. Myself. I'm competing with myself. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah. So fun.
More power
but
to you.
Lowered the numbers of people. So
I don't know how the Turkish do it, but the Greeks, the Lebanese, the Italians, it's one meal on Sunday at 2:00, and then everybody fends for themselves the rest of the day.
Well, then you eat the leftovers at like 7 or 8.
But you don't really sit down for a formal meal later on in the day.
Well, if you're having a big party, right.
Yeah.
So we're going to eat a little bit later, like at late afternoon, 4-ish. But people come at 2 for some appetizers, and then we'll have some drinks, and then we'll eat at 4, and then we'll get hungry again at 8. No, I love it. I went to the lamb shop today on Taylor Street. Yep. It is so much fun. I had a great conversation with the guy that owns it. He looked at me and he goes, "Hey, aren't you the girl that lives down the street that's marrying the Italian guy?" I go, "No, I'm the girl down the street marrying the German guy." And he said, "How'd he get so lucky to get Greek Easter?" And then he said, "You only come in here twice a year." And I said, "Yeah, Christmas and Easter." The there's butcher, 10 people in line, by the way.
Please tell me that the butcher came out and he's got the white apron on and it's filled with
blood.
Meat, blood.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
His hands look like Dan Hampton's hands. Yeah. And I know you know what Dan Hampton's hands look
right.
like. And they are just
large. They're meat cleavers.
Yes.
Sure.
And it was fun because there was all sorts of people in line and people getting the lamb with the bone. And the lady next to me says, "You take it off the bone." And it was fine. I took it off the bone.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he's charging up money. I said, "Can you break this?" And he said, "Yeah, I know you can. There's 100 people in line."
So what are you making? Are you making leg of lamb? You're going to put the lamb inside the grape leaves? What are you going to do?
I'm gonna make, this is leg of lamb. Okay. Leg of lamb with roasted potatoes, pasticho, fasulyeki, which is green beans.
Got it.
There's this really cool chickpea recipe from a woman named Diane Cochilas, and she has a TV show on PBS. And it's from the island of Icaria.
This is
and
my
so
head is spinning right now.
I am going
now.
To make this chickpea and Swiss chard recipe that she does. It's delicious.
I don't know how it works
I'm
with the Greeks.
Happy to share the
but,
recipe.
But when my family gets together, we have like a candy dish of Tums just in the living room because, you know, when you get the the food, the Mediterranean food.
You know what we do in our family is the dessert, forget dessert, we just have second helpings of dinner. After we're finished with dinner. Oh, would you like some dessert? Yeah, have some more pasticho. Okay.
There you go. Just take it. Will you overeat on Sunday?
Absolutely.
Because when my mom cooks, she likes to watch people eat, and she won't eat. It's like her thing.
I love it.
Because she enjoys watching everyone talk at the table and just have conversation and
it's
eat her food.
It's my dream come true to have a table full of people just eating. Last year, they looked at me with tears in their eyes, and they said, "Stop bringing food." It's so
because
great. You're more than welcome to come over.
You associate food in love.
And happiness,
right.
Yes.
It all goes together.
I love it. I love the work. I love the prep. I love the cleanup. I love it all.
So you got the lamb. You got all the food, and you just have to put it together.
So I was out of town this week, so last night I flew in, and then I went straight to the grocery store, the Greek store, to get the what I need to make everything, because I was going to be here today, and I needed to plan ahead. I have one more grocery store trip.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was gone for the last 3 days in Florida. Charlie had a few days off around Easter. We went down to Florida for 3 days.
This is the longest period of time that you and I haven't talked live. 3 days.
Right.
Because you were in Florida, I was in Arizona.
My wife kept asking me, "What's going on? You're not talking to Jane." I go, "I'm on vacation with my family." By the way, it's the first time in as long as I can remember that I went on vacation with my wife and my 13-year-old son, Charlie. That's it.
With nobody else.
Just the three of us. I got to be honest. On Sunday, I'm thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to talk to my wife about?
No.
I swear to God.
Wait, this is Sunday before you left.
Yeah, this
you
was this past.
You never ran out of things to talk about.
Well, of course not. But you think, okay, I haven't been on, you know, what am I going to do if I get bored? And you remember, because you forget.
Well, Pete, I don't think.
When you have families that go on vacation together, we have
groups.
Multiple groups that we go on vacation. We'll go to Florida. We'll go to Mexico, things like that.
So do you
Michigan,
feel more connected
Wisconsin.
With just Charlie and Sarah? Because
I do.
The three of you were together?
It actually worked out.
I love it.
There was a few hiccups along the way.
Yeah?
Yes.
Like, what do you mean?
I hit a sandbar in the boat. Other than that, everything was fine.
Now, answer this. Sarah, poolside, cocktailing, sunning. Charlie in the pool.
Yep.
You have to either be in the pool playing with your son.
I was in the pool the entire time.
Or you want to hang out with your wife.
I was in the pool the entire time.
That explains the golden tan I'm looking at.
That's why I said to Sarah, I go, maybe we should bring a friend for Charlie. No, it's fine. Everything's great.
Why didn't Charlie just make friends?
We were staying at her brother's house.
Oh,
so we weren't at a public, when we went to the ocean. Yeah, absolutely.
Friends. Yeah. You have 12 brothers and sisters. Forget it. You don't need any more friends.
Hey, where are you from? That's always my line.
I know.
Hey,
my mom used to make us say, and we'd be like, "We're from Chicago." And she'd be like, "You are not from Chicago. You are from Orland Park." I'm like, this
People
person.
Don't know Orland Park.
This guy in Arkansas that's from, you know, New
I'm
Jersey. He doesn't know Orland Park. But she said, "You're not Chicago. You're Orland Park."
When we flew out on Monday. Yeah. Do people forget etiquette when they go to an airport? I know we've had this conversation before, but it drives me crazy. I see people showing up in their pajamas at the airport, carrying their pillow.
Flip-flops
what kind of person?
Everywhere.
Oh, my gosh. The bare feet.
Everywhere.
Jeez.
And the airport.
This is the reason that I'm TSA pre-approved is because I don't want to see people's bare feet walking through security.
I know. Me neither. Yes, I don't like to. I don't want to be bothered with having to take off my coat and my shoes and all that. But I think people, once they get on the airplane, is when they actually just let it all go.
But I don't understand grabbing the pillow off your bed and taking it on a plane. Let's see. I got my swimsuit. I got shorts. I got a shirt. Oh, I got to grab my pillow. Got to grab my pillow with
and then,
me.
Here's my thing. And this might be.
On a plane where thousands of people have sat in the past 3 days.
And then you're going to put the pillow on your face.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you're going to take it home and probably put it on your bed because you're going to forget to wash the pillowcase.
Well, I think about this, LF. You may be able to chime in because, Pete, I know you can wash your hair easily. My hair have a lot of it, so I'm not getting it wet every single day. But after I get off a plane and my hair is all over the seat and rubbing it in there, does that gross you out?
Yeah, I definitely wash my hair right away, too.
Yeah. So, I don't.
Oh, you don't?
No.
I thought you were going to say you wash your hair right away, right?
I should wash my hair right away because it grosses me out, but I don't. So I'm trying to get over that. And I was looking for approval, really.
You wash your hair once a week on Tuesday.
Yeah, whenever. It doesn't matter.
So we
never.
My wife booked the flight.
This, you mean this? I'm going to take it right off.
My wife booked the flight. And of course, I'm not sitting with Charlie and Sarah. She puts me two rows away.
Why?
And she said, I don't know.
What did she say?
Which is fine.
Tell us what
I'm sitting by myself, I don't want a window seat. I need an aisle.
Yeah, me too.
But she put me in a window seat. So I'm sitting by the window.
We got a
big guy by the aisle. And the woman in the middle, the middle seat, seemed pretty normal. Said hi to her. We get on the flight. I'm starting to read a book. And she pulls out a nail file and starts cutting her nails.
Ugh.
On the flight, right after we take off.
What happened to all the leftovers?
She had a napkin, and she cut them in a napkin. So she's trimming her nails on the flight.
Ugh.
You're allowed nail clippers on an airplane?
Well,
she brought them.
You are, I think, because they're not, you know, if you have a scissors, they can only be 5 inches or 4 inches long. I think nail clippers are fine.
Oh, okay.
People do that. They paint their nails on a flight. You know what I saw on the flight? On the front side of my trip? Heading out to Phoenix, you know how they have emotional support animals?
Yeah.
Emotional support pig. Potbelly pig. Emotional support.
No way.
Swear to God. And then they, you know how they...
Did it smell?
No, it went number two everywhere. And then
what?
Then
on the plane?
Smelled. Yeah.
You're kidding.
Ew. Well, the pig can't tell
you.
Wait
a second. A support animal can be a pig?
It could be a pig. I've heard of, they've had ducks.
And does the pigs...
Mini horses?
I saw a dog on the flight yesterday, and the dog has to sit on the person's lap. So did the pig sit on the lap?
They sat in front of them in the front row, like right where your feet go. It was a little pot-belly pig. It's cute.
So the pig went to the bathroom on the flight?
Yes.
Well, what did they do?
Well, they cleaned it up, but it was very uncomfortable for all the passengers in the back half of this plane.
Did it smell?
Yes,
it smelled.
It's a pig. Yes. They quickly took care of the matter.
Oh, my God.
But so...
What is wrong with people?
You know the emotional support. You get the big, bright paper, and they have that so they can take the animal out of the cage.
I don't know what that means, the big, bright paper.
So if you get the support paperwork to have an emotional support animal with you, that means that the animal could sit on your lap or they could sit next to you, that you need it to be out of... You know, sometimes they bring dogs or cats on.
Right.
They're in their little carrier, and they go under the seat.
Yep.
If you have the emotional support paperwork... You can take it out, and it can be in your arms or on your lap or on the floor next to you.
I don't want to see a pig on my flight.
Well,
I'm just throwing it out there now.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, because it came in the little crate, and then all of a sudden, it was a pig. I thought it was a cat.
I thought I was grossed out by the woman cutting her nails next to me.
I was saving the story for you, Pete.
Oh, my
kept asking God. Me, did anything gross happen? I'm like, nah, smelly food, that's all.
I just don't understand people. You know what? I got 2.5 hours going to Florida. I'm going to cut my nails on the flight.
Take my pig.
Who are you?
Well, it's like the guy that was shaving his head, right?
There was a video, a video went viral this week. There was a guy that was shaving his head on a United flight.
Yeah, but he was using the kind of shaver that sucked in all the hair.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
People were assuming that, but I don't believe it. I think he was just shaving his melon. He was a bald guy, and he was just trimming it up with a trimmer.
I'm giving this guy the benefit of the doubt that he was all the hairs are going back into this shaver, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it.
I think people forget etiquette when they go to the airport and hop on a flight. I really do. I feel like they think that they're in a bubble. Yeah.
I don't think they forgot it. I think they just don't even think about it. You just go. Who dresses up for the airport anymore? You do.
Well, I like to look nice.
I know, me too.
I mean, I wore shorts and a polo shirt.
See, I wouldn't wear shorts on a plane.
Why?
I don't know. It grosses me out.
And also, it's freezing.
It's freezing.
It's always so hot. Oh, my God.
What?
It's always so hot on a flight.
Do you put the blower on you?
Oh, nonstop. 100%. And if the lady or the person in the middle is not using theirs, I'll move it over. Absolutely.
So I want to go back to why Sarah and you and Charlie, it's perfect on a plane. It's three seats.
Right.
Why didn't you use your three people?
She said it was a full flight.
That just goes to show me. She was a little unsure about what she was going to talk to you about.
Maybe you're absolutely right on that one. Which is fine. You know, you read, you catch up on stuff.
Who is this man I'm going on vacation with? I know that's my son, but who is that guy?
I've been married. Let's see. I got married in 2001. What year is it? Okay, 18 years. It'll be 18 years in August. Sometimes, you know, you got to remind yourself why you got married and why you love this person. And I forgot and I, you know, we reconnected.
So did Sarah. You were two rows behind her on the plane.
Jeez. I was. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Also, our text line, 312-981-7200. We're going to talk to Sammy Hagar at 135. Sammy's got a new album. He's coming to town June 7th in Tinley Park. And we're going to talk grilling.
Yes, we are. It's time to grill. Today, but tomorrow when it snows, not so much.
We're going to have a Weber Grillmaster in at 2:05. If you have questions about grilling, this person can answer your questions. Absolutely. Do you grill? Or does Kurt?
Kurt does the grilling. That's one of my questions.
What do you mean?
Well, a lot of time. I mean, I can cook
everything.
What's
your question?
Well, the question is... A lot of men do the grilling, and women grill, absolutely, but I always find the men are like, nah, give me the tools, I'm going to do the grilling. Why is that?
I love grilling. I love the experience. I love hanging out outside. I love having a beer right on the side of the grill.
You and Kurt get along swimming.
It's the whole experience. Yeah. It's just
Which
fun.
Is me in the kitchen cooking for Greek dinner.
Wow. I mean, it's a good time.
Yeah.
Kevin Coleman from Weber Grills will be here. He's a Weber Grill Master. Do you have to go to school for that?
Yeah, I think so. You go to the Weber Grill University, mm-hmm. and you get a degree, a PhD, in the BBQ.
The BBQ and the PhD?
Yep.
I like it. Trying to think if I'm going to grill this weekend. Can't grill tomorrow. It's going to snow.
Yeah, you have grilled in the snow, I remember.
I have, but I did not pull out my grill during the wintertime.
Didn't your grill blow away one time?
It did.
Yeah.
And I do have to say...
It still works?
It was a brand new Weber Genesis. By the way, Weber is the Cadillac of grills. That's all I've had. My father had Weber grills. Love the Weber. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I bought a brand new Weber Genesis, and we had a huge storm that came through Chicago like 4 years ago, and I didn't lock the wheels.
Yep.
And it blew down, and it fell on my deck, and a few items broke, and it was 6 months into the purchase. I called up Weber. It was like... They sent the guys over, and they ran into my backyard, changed everything, and left. It was like a pit crew team.
Oh, yeah. So they fixed it. They didn't give you a new one.
It was brand new.
I know.
Guys like to take care of their grills, and they like a clean car.
Yep.
We want to grow grass in our front yard. We're very simple. And sex. That's it. Four things. There's your four right there. That's it. So Kevin Coleman will be in studio at 2:05.
I didn't hear a word he said. Did you, Ella?
I said grow Nothing. Grass,
nope.
clean grill, clean car, that's, and sex.
That's great. Right.
That's
four.
What women hear.
Four things.
Nothing.
That's all we want. Uh-oh. There we go. All right. Nice. The NFL draft.
I'm so confused about the draft.
The Bears didn't have a first rounder because we have the greatest player in
NFL Mack.
In the NFL right now.
So they
Khalil Mack, number 52.
This is what confuses me. As I was trying to read up on it to understand completely what happened, but they gave up the first round to get Khalil, that they gave it to somebody else who gave it to somebody else, and now the 20th round in 2020. I mean, it's so confusing.
Yes.
I don't understand.
But we traded away draft picks for him.
For three
and a few
years?
Players. Yes, he's that good.
What does that mean?
What do you mean? What does that mean?
So we get a draft pick, but it's not first, it's third.
Yep. Okay, so what do you need to know?
Well, so we're in the third round draft pick.
Well, we'll have the number 86 pick today, right? Is it number 86? It's somewhere in the 80s.
We start at 3 o'clock.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, but this is going to go on for...
Guys,
not
we're
only,
winning the Super Bowl
next
year.
Not only this year, great. Mm-hmm. And not only next year.
Right.
But maybe the year after. Great, fine, I'm fine. I don't need to understand, I just need us to win the Super Bowl.
So we're going to get somebody later today or tomorrow. Does that make sense?
Sure. Are we going to get somebody we want?
I would assume... I haven't listened to anything, but as a Bear fan and a season ticket holder in Section 251, North End Zone, 10 rows above the time clock.
You hold the
clock,
bullseye.
I would say probably defensive backs or an offensive lineman.
So what is the guy...
I don't know. Where's Adam Hoge? Is he here?
The first round draft pick was a quarterback that went to the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes.
He was the first one, first
Heisman
person
Trophy
pick.
Winner wearing a pink
He's
suit.
He's a... Right, he's just like, everyone loves him. Is he happy he went to the Cardinals?
Well, he's happy that they're going to hand him a check for $25
million. Okay.
Here, we'll give you a deal. I don't know what it is. We'll cut you a $40 million deal. Here's $25 guaranteed.
Because if you're the best player in college football, and then you go to the worst team in the NFL, you're still happy because you're in the NFL. Or do you want to be a mediocre player in your college and then go to a really good team like the Bears?
Of course you want to go to a great team.
Why are you laughing at me?
Because these are just odd questions. I mean, they do make sense, but nobody thinks that way. But yes, he's probably happy to go to the Cardinals. Big fish, small pond, they're rebuilding in Phoenix. Okay?
Okay. I don't know. I want to go, I don't know. I guess Arizona's good.
Okay. All right.
I'm fine.
Are you going to watch any of the draft?
No, I was listening to it on the radio yesterday, and this is where all the questions came in, because I wanted to know when the Buffalo Bills were getting a pick, and they were picking ninth. And then I knew that's why Arizona Cardinals got this star-studded quarterback.
Yeah.
But then I stopped, because I was like, when did the Bears pick? And someone said 86th, 37th. I said, forget it.
I think you have to worry about who the Packers got. They got a defensive end. Wait, I think they got two defensive players.
What
I think
mean?
They got a defensive back. And they had two first-round picks.
Because they traded somebody? Is that how it works? So the Green Bay Packers traded for two first-round picks.
Well, they...
Who is keeping track of all this shenanigans? I hope somebody's there going, Bears don't get to pick for 2 years.
Every team gets a first-round pick.
Is there someone that's figuring it out?
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I mean... Did you watch last night on ESPN?
No.
Or did you watch ABC?
I listened to it on the radio.
Owned by the same company, Disney. They had the ABC broadcast at ESPN.
I was listening to it.
So Robin Roberts was on ABC in prime time.
I like Robin Roberts. I was listening to it on the radio in the car.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was fine.
Well, you get 15 minutes in between each pick.
This is where I had all of these questions came up.
All right. Coming up next, we'll talk to the Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar. The Bears will start getting some picks later today.
Thank you.
How's that? Okay?
Fine.
We're going to win. We have all the players in place. We're great.
Okay.
Everything's good.
Khalil Mack.
I love this next guy. I love him.
No, I love him.
I love him.
No, I love him.
When you think of rock and roll frontmen, this guy is absolutely one of the best of all time.
The best.
Montrose.
Yeah.
Van Halen.
Woo!
His solo efforts. And now Sammy Hagar has a brand new band, a new album. His band, Sammy Hagar and the Circle, will be at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park on Friday, June 7th. The name of the new album is entitled Space Between. It's the Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar. Sammy.
Hi, Sammy.
Whoa, you guys are being way too confident. I got to like move around the room a little bit. My head got real big for a second there. I love it. No, that's very nice of you guys to talk about me like that. It's hard for me to think of myself like this because I'm one of those guys that I'm always in the middle of working so hard and stuff. I don't ever sit around and think about everything I've done or how great I am or none of that crap, and I think it's the way to go, personally. But if you guys insist that I'm that great, well, then okay, I'll drink to that. You know what I mean?
Jane, ask Sammy what you just asked me off the air.
I said, Pete, there's no way Sammy's 71. There's no way.
My mom probably blew it. I don't know. I'm probably like about 33.
Yeah.
You know? My mom just kind of got her numbers wrong. Actually, maybe I was born in, you know, it says I was born in 1947 on my birth certificate. Maybe it was, they reversed it. Maybe it's 1974 that I was born. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. I always say once you hit 20, you just keep going backwards. So you're somewhere on the lower end of that between 1 and 20, right?
I'm somewhere in the space between. That's where I am. I'm right there in the middle of it, you know?
Here's the deal with Sammy Hagar. I mean, you, I see you on Sammy Hagar's Road Trip on Access TV, but your follow on Instagram is one of the best follows because you're always so happy and motivational, or you put a video up there. It's you and Michael Anthony at a concert. I just love it. You always seem happy. Where does that come from?
I mean, I pretty much am. What's there to be bummed out about? Hello. You know, just gave me that intro, and then you're asking me why I'm so happy.
Right, you're right. Yep. You
there
got
you
me.
Go. You answered it with your intro.
Yep.
Look, it's like there's no reason to be bummed out. I mean, I get pissed off, and I get bummed out. Believe me, you know, and it kind of comes and goes, but I don't know. You know, I've always been kind of a happy kind of guy. You know, I'm enjoying my life. I enjoy everything I got in front of me and in behind me and in the middle of, and my family, you know, my friends, my band. Anyway, I'm happy. Yeah. You know, Instagram's a weird thing. I got hooked on it about 4 or 5 years ago. I'm kind of a new Instagrammer, and my generation aren't really big on Instagram that much. You know, it's mostly a younger kind of thing. And my kids always make fun of me. My teenage daughters, they make fun of me for my Instagrams. And I go, well, why are you dogging me for my Instagram? Go, oh my God, Daddy, that's so stupid. You shouldn't tell people that. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. And I'm going, man, I guess I don't get it. But I think my Instagrams are funny, and I post them myself.
Do you really?
I do 99.9% of it myself because I'm having fun with it. I like to see it. The comments and stuff, it actually entertains me.
It is really entertaining because when people write back, then you're like, oh, that's what they think. And do you respond to people live?
Yeah, I do, but I don't do the personal stuff, whatever that is. I just respond on to some things if it really, really catches me in the right mood. I'll say cheers, you know, a little champagne glass or something. But every now and then there's all these hackers and these guys that are imposters that say they're me and respond to fans, and I don't like that part of it. So I don't do the personal chat thing, if you know what I mean.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, there's like a thing that you do behind the scenes you could talk.
Anyone that gets that from me, it's not me. I don't do that. First of all, I'm so, I'm not very good at that kind of stuff, so with the social media, I'm not really, really great at to do. So I don't even know how to do the other thing. So if somebody's doing it, it's definitely not me because I don't know how to do it.
I don't know when you find time to do it.
Oh man, you do it like in space between. That's where everything comes from. Don't you realize that? That's what the album is all about. It's about the things that happen in between. You know, it's like you walk out on stage and you're there, so there's no space in between there. You know, before you go out, you're warming up, you're doing all that stuff. But it's when you're doing nothing, when you have that moment of nothingness, that's where all creativity comes from. And that's where what I utilize for my Instagram. I go, well, I got nothing to do, so
I'll do this.
Pull up my Instagram. There you go.
Right. He's
got
time.
The space between. I'm so motivated right now.
Sammy Hagar and The Circle. Now, let's talk about your band. You got Vic Johnson, who's been with you for a while on guitar. But how did you, of course, Michael Anthony on bass, Mikey and you have been friends forever and ever since the Van Halen days, but how did you get Jason Bonham on drums?
You know, it's really the craziest thing. I was with the band The Wobbos, you know, Sammy and the Wobble Readers.
Yep.
We were throwing that Cabo Wobble Cantina, you know, tequila party every night. For about 10 years, I had that band, and we were great, and we did a lot of stuff, and then Jason came to a show in Florida where he lives, and he was sitting on the side of the stage, and I went over and said, Jason, you know, I hadn't seen him for about 8 years. He came to Cabo one time and jammed with me. One of the greatest rock drummers of all time. Plays exactly like his dad, John Bonham. Everyone knows John Bonham's the greatest rock drummer in history, and Jason is the protege. He's the guy. He's the kid. He's the kid that plays just like his dad. So I said, Jason, do you know Pound Cake? He goes, sure. And I'm going, okay, two more songs, come out and play Pound Cake. So he jumps on drums, we play Pound Cake, and it was unbelievable. It was as good as Van Halen ever played it. Well, I had Mikey there on bass, and I'm going, wow. So I'm going, hey, do you know Finish What You Started? He goes, sure. So we play Finish What You Started. I'm going, wow. Hey, what else you know? He said, I know any Led Zeppelin songs. So I said, okay, Whole Lot of Love, but da-da-da-da. You know, and then we played for about an hour, and I swear to you, It sounds like I'm a mean guy. I'm not a mean guy. That band had been together for 10 years. I got home from that tour. It was about, you know, a week or so later. I called Jason and said, you want to join my band? It's you and I, Mikey and Vic. And he said, sure, Mike, you know. And it was just quick as that. I just started a new band with him. And we went 7 years without making a record because we had such a great set list. We got Van Halen songs from the Van Hagar era. We got Montrose tunes. We got Chickenfoot tunes. We got Sammy solo tunes, you know, from before Van Halen and after Van Halen. And that set list was a monster, so we didn't need a new album. But we've been doing shows for about 6-7 years now, and we decided to make a record together. And, you know, comes the space between, which, as you know, with our set list that we have, sprinkle it with a little Led Zeppelin,
yep.
It's pretty tough to try to put a new song in there. So
yeah,
I was under pressure, and I think we did it. We're playing 5 new songs in the set, and where they're placed, I feel strong about it. Every night we get just as good a response to the new song, and some people have never heard these songs because the record isn't even out yet till May 10th. But anyway, I'm happy. I'm having a good time, and I'm still happy. I'm still laughing and smiling and all that stuff, you know. Look at my last Instagram post. Was I laughing or what?
Oh, yeah, you were very happy. Trust me.
I was looking at Tommy Lee. I think it's a throwback Thursday. I was looking at Tommy Lee. We were laughing.
Talk about another great drummer. He was on Sammy Hagar's Road Trip, right? He was one of the first ones, I want to say.
He was the first one. Yeah, that was the first Rock and Roll Road Trip. And here you go to Tommy Lee's house. And what does he want to do? I say, Tommy, what do you want to do? He goes, I want to cook for you. I'm going, oh, boy.
He's great. Of course he wants to cook.
That's nothing to do with the movie Dirt, right? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Did you guys actually sit down and break bread together? That was the first thing you did?
No, he made me some kind of dessert. And I was helping him chop apples, and he was rolling out the dough and all this stuff.
That's
he made
right.
A little apple turnover thing. And we were just talking while he was doing that, and then at the end we went down in the studio and I invited Michael Anthony over and we jammed Rock Candy. It was classic. It was my first show. It was very interesting for me as well. You know, I'm going, okay, is this what I'm getting into? You know, asking my rock star buddies if I can come over and interview them, and they get me in the kitchen chopping apples.
But it's just so cool.
It's
and
pretty
intimate.
Classic, but hey, it's real. How many people get to see Tommy Lee doing that, you know?
Well, and that's what you're doing. You're taking a peek behind the scenes of these, like, rock star lives, and we're sitting there watching you, an icon, talking to these other icons, and we're in it. And we're seeing where they live. We're seeing what they do. Was this your idea for this type of show? Because I'm obsessed with the show.
Yeah, I am too, by the way. And thank you, Jane, because it's like, I didn't know if I could do it, but, you know, I've done damn near everything I could think of in life, and I'm sitting there going, what else can I do? Maybe I can do a TV show. So I called up Mark Cuban, who owns Access TV, and I said, Mark,
I
got this
Mark
idea.
Cuban. Yeah.
What do you think? And he goes, I love it. And so he gave me a budget, and we went out, and I called up all my buddies, and I just started doing it. Now I'm in the fifth season. Season 4 starts this Sunday,
yeah.
I think, and I signed up for a fifth season now, but I mean, it's unbelievable. But anyway, my first show on the fourth season coming up this Sunday is Willie Nelson.
What happens with Willie? This is what I can't wait to find out.
You can only imagine.
Okay, just use your imagination.
Exactly.
So he's at Billy Bob's in Houston, Texas, you know, the place that's got rodeos going on at the same time, guys riding cows in the back over there, you know, while he's on stage. It was like unbelievable. What a great show. But he has his bus parked out there, what I call his, not tour bus, it's a cannabis. And I walked on that sucker, and that was all she wrote, man. I sat down right across from Willie. He was just awesome, man. Anyway, it's really cool. My performance with Willie is about the worst performance you'll ever see from me in your life because he don't have a set list, and his damn harmonica player tells me, well, just come out whenever you want. I'm going, just walk out there? He says, yeah, Willie don't care, just walk out there. So I hear On the Road Again, I'm thinking, well, I kind of know that song. But once I got out there, I realized I only kind of knew it. I didn't know it at all.
That's
except
great.
On the Road Again. You know, I know that part. But then it's like, you know, I didn't know it. I can't wait to get on the road again. So I blew it really bad. But, you know, it's Sammy's Rock and Roll Road Trip. I can do whatever I want.
That's right.
So I just look like a fool and let the people see it for real.
People don't care what you're singing. They just want to see you do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way I felt about it, too. I think that's the way the audience felt about it, too. They're looking at me like, what's that guy doing up there again anyway?
We're talking with Sammy Hagar. He'll be in town with Sammy Hagar and The Circle at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park on Friday, June 7th. And you just mentioned that Sammy Hagar's Road Trip on Access TV, Season 4, kicks off this Sunday at 7 o'clock. Now, I want to ask you about something that I read, or maybe you posted it on Instagram, about going on tour. And if Mikey gets a call from Van Halen, you said you would let him go. Because Van Halen, there was rumors about Van Halen touring with the original members. What was that all about?
Well, it was all just one of them rumors, you know. Van Halen fans are really special. They're really intense, you know, and it's, you know, they like to get all stirred up, you know, because Van Halen keeps, you know, they go radio silence up there, and no one really knows ever what they're doing. So rumors get started and stuff, and Mikey got a call way back in October, like, you know, six months ago, from the management saying, hey, what are you and Sammy doing next year? Because, you know, they're talking about getting you back and doing a reunion for, you know, a few shows. And Mike said, yeah, I don't know, let me talk to Sammy. So he talks to me about it. I said, oh, Mike, that would be totally cool. You know, so we booked this tour. You know, I said, hey, we're booking a tour. If you don't hear from you by February or January, February, we're booking a damn tour. And so didn't hear from him. And of course it was just a rumor, and so we just booked the tour and went out. But honestly, I am the kind of partner, you know, business partner, band partner, whatever you want, a friend, that I would never put any restrictions on anyone for anything they would want to do, because I don't want anyone putting any restrictions on me. So it's always, you know, hey, you do whatever you want to do, I'll do what I want to do, and as long as we're still getting along and being friendly here, you know, we can keep playing together. And Mike and I, best friends, and I would happily take a few months off if he wanted to go do something else. I don't care if I, you know, I can't go forever without playing, but you give me a couple months, I know where to go. I go straight to Cabo, my feet are in the sand on the beach, and I'm down at the cantina drinking margaritas and eating tacos and jumping up on stage.
I want to be there.
So I don't need to be holding somebody back when I've got something like that to do. Now, if I didn't have nothing to do, I might be a little more pissy about it and say, hey, Mike, what are you talking about? No
What's
way,
What's going
man.
On here?
I have plenty to do.
You've got the attitude.
But it ain't going to happen. So that's done. We're out, and the Circle will book a second leg in the fall. Around September, August, September, we're going to go back out again.
Okay.
And support this new album, because it's really special to make a record at this stage of my life, especially a concept record, something that has a deeper meaning for the first time in my life. I feel like, well, wait a minute, this needs to be heard. This needs to be said.
Sammy,
people need to know this is where my head is at, where I feel the world is at, and what we can do about it. And so that's important to me to support that.
Sammy, hold that thought, because I'm going to take a quick break. And can you hold on for just a second?
Hell yeah, I can hold the thought as long as, wait a minute, wait, what am I doing
now? This is the in-between time. Go to Instagram.
Yes, you can go to the bathroom here. We're talking with Sammy.
I'll go to Instagram real quick.
Yeah. Yes, post something. More with Sammy Hagar coming up next on 720 WGS. WGN on the phone with us, the Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar. I want to ask you one more Van Halen question. Is that okay?
Talk to me, Chief. I'm ready.
Hey, I don't know if you posted on Instagram while we were in break.
I didn't have time.
It takes some time. He's got to formulate the picture.
Okay.
I heard that you bought a house, moved nearby the Van Halen brothers, and you sent them an email that said, hey, I moved nearby, let's go out to dinner, no talking business, let's get reacquainted, and you heard nothing back. Is that true?
Well, yeah, it wasn't quite like that, but yeah, I reached out to Al on his birthday once, and I reached out to Eddie last year on his birthday, and, you know, just trying to be friendly, but those guys just, they don't want to be friendly,
so
I'm just going, okay, you know, it's all right. You know, as we all get older, and so many, you know, rock stars that we've seen in the last few years, it just, you know, they keep passing on, you know, and I just think to myself, the last thing I would want is for one of us to check out and and leave some, you know, trash behind. And, so for me, I just always go through my life trying to clean everything up and carry no enemies with me. You know, the more luggage you carry around with you, you know, it starts showing on your face. You know, people always tell me how young I look and how young I act. I'm telling you, you want to know why? It's because I don't carry no crap with me, you know.
Right.
It's like you get over it, next, move on. And the more stuff you carry, it starts showing on you. So I don't want it to be showing up on me. But anyway, whatever. If they ever want to reach out to me, I would love to be friends. I'm not looking to get Van Halen back together. I love what I'm doing. We play seven Van Halen songs in our 2.5-hour shows. And, you know, and it's me and Mikey doing it with Jason Bonham on drums, Vic Johnson on guitar. It sounds pretty damn good. So I don't need any more than that. I like to be able to play my songs too, and the new songs. I just heard Rock Candy from you guys. We played freaking Rock Candy in this set. I go all the way back to a Montrose song, right up to the new stuff with Space Between. It's an awesome set.
Life,
you know?
Lessons with Sammy. Really quick before we go to break. I always think about my 7-year-old self, and sometimes I still think like I'm 7 years old. When you were 7, did you ever dream that this is what you would be doing in life?
No, I did not. I hoped and wished that I would be famous. For some reason, I wanted to be famous when I was little, but I didn't know how it was going to be. I thought maybe I was going to be a fireman and save somebody's life and get famous in my hometown. You know, that was good enough for me. But, all this is miracle stuff and above and beyond any dream I ever had, and I'm very grateful.
Sammy Hagar in the Circle, Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park on Friday, June 7th. You can see Sammy Hagar's road trip on Access TV Sunday at 7 o'clock. And the 30th anniversary at Cabo Wabo Bar is next year. Jane and I will broadcast live from your bar.
Oh, come on, man. Are you serious? You damn right you will. Now, I'm going to hold you to that. We got tens of thousands of people are going to be saying, yes, okay, we heard it, yes.
Where are
witnesses.
They?
I already talked to your people about it. The wheels are in motion.
Right on. That'd be awesome.
That would be great.
I love it. Sammy, you're the best, man. We'll see you when you come to town.
Yeah.
In town. Okay, bye.
Thank you, brother.
Bye, Sammy.
Sammy Hagar at 720 WGN.
Barbecue, steak. I love barbecue.
I love grilling. Grilling weather is upon us. Well, not tomorrow, but some people will be grilling in the snow. Let's bring in the grill master from Weber Grills. It's Kevin Coleman. It's good to see you. Thanks for coming in, man.
Oh, thank you guys for having us. Hello. Good afternoon.
His hands are meat cleavers.
We shook hands like, wow, you have really big hands.
Huge. Huge.
Is that like a prerequisite to be like a, you know, a master griller?
I think
you
got
to be big.
You got to throw meat around, and you got to be able to pull things apart. I mean, there's the whole...
You know what? I was just at the place where they sell lambs, and every guy in there was like throwing and cutting things up, and their big cleavers, and everyone had big hands.
It's an experience. I teach a barbecue science class at Ohio State, or the Ohio State University, and we've had to do some harvesting of animals.
Wait. What kind of blow-off class is that? A barbecue science class? Why didn't they have that when I was in college?
We've only had two football players in like 6 years. So,
what are you teaching?
So we teach mostly agricultural students and engineers, and it's for credit, and so it's the first 7 weeks of each semester, and they cook on gas, charcoal, they cook all the different types of proteins, and then there's a small competition at the end of the semester for the team that wins, and we usually donate a grill or two to them.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
It's a great class. So if you live here, do they just have class once a week or once every 7 weeks?
So we fly in at the beginning of class the first week, and then we fly back in at the 7th week. So we've designed the whole curriculum that the kids learn, and we basically walk them through grilling, and it's pretty fun to see where they start and then how much we actually can help them teach and where they're at at the end.
So did you go to school for this? Grill master?
I've had a non-traditional kind of way of getting into grill master, so I want to started at Weber way off in prior in customer service, got promoted to our parts store. The Stephen family, who used to own the business, let me work there every summer, created a position for me. When I got out of school, got my master's degree from Eastern Illinois University, and just kept working up and learned the art and the science of how we manufacture grills, and then it got into cooking, and then working with some of the best top chefs and pit masters in the world, and all of a sudden you come back here and you're like, spread the gospel to as many people as we can to help them grill better.
Did you always love to grill? Because you're on the business side of it. Now you're the guy teaching everybody what to do.
So for me, it was hard because I'm colorblind. So it was really hard for me to tell when things are done. Yeah. So that's why, like, when you have the eye grow that we're hopefully going to give away later, when you can tell what the temperature is, as long as I know what the time and the temperature of the food I'm grilling is supposed to be, everything else is pretty easy. So even if it's under or over a little bit, I can still figure out when that food's supposed to come off. So it's been it started getting into it, and then you see how excited people get about it, and then you're learning from all these different people. And I would say barbecue is probably our country's cuisine, if you will. Like, it's something that people all over the world want to know about.
Because
American
any hillbilly
barbecue.
Can do it?
Any hillbilly can right. do it. I mean,
I say that because I'm a hillbilly from Peoria.
Well, there you go.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah. It's totally inclusive, but even if you screwed up a little bit, it still tastes pretty good.
Right. You're right.
You know? And it's one of those things that when you're in the backyard, you know, there's two reasons why we drink and we barbecue. You know what those are? We either drink to celebrate a great meal or we drink to forget it. So.
And then you can pour some of that on top of it. It's always
marinade,
delicious.
You got it.
So you can answer questions. People can call in with grilling questions, questions about grill, questions about meat, seasoning, anything.
Any kind of meat science, grill science, barbecue science, we can answer.
So right. I have the first question.
Wait, hold on. Let me give this plug real quick. 312-981-7200. This is what we're going to do. If you get on the air and ask Kevin Coleman from Weber Grills a question, everyone who calls in with a question, if you get on the air, will receive a $50 gift certificate to MeatsRUs.com. Meats, the letter R, us.com for custom cut, premium, hand-selected steaks, burgers, pork, veal, and lamb, all delivered to your door. Powered by International Meat Company since 1952. And I was at International Meats at Grand and Harlem. I was there talking to Victor 2 weeks ago. Walk through. Man, they got some good meat.
Well,
what is it with men that they get excited when they see a USDA prime steak? I got so excited.
It's
I'm like,
channeling of the internal caveman.
Look
I
at
think.
That puppy.
They do look nice. I'm going to ask a question I don't think anybody else will ask.
All right.
When you're thinking about grilling and you're using indirect heat, so as opposed to putting a piece of meat on the grill or poultry, whatever, using a grill as indirect heat, does it also act as a convection oven?
So I can speak mostly for our products, although some of our competitors. When the food is not directly over the heat, it's called indirect heat, right? So you're using two major types of heat to finish that protein. It's either going to be convective and conductive. A little bit radiant from the charcoal or the gas that you're using, but mostly convective and conductive energy. That's what's penetrating into the food and cooking it.
And then, so how do we perfect that? Because when we, like you said, you sort of, you know when it's done, that's time, the temp, blah, blah, blah. But when I'm trying to heat my oven, or now in this case, my grill as a convection oven, and I want it to be at 450 or 350, and it goes a little bit higher, do I try to lower the heat or do I cook it faster?
Well, it's everything is based off of thickness, right? So how thick something is going to tell you the temperature is going to cook it at, and it's going to tell you the time it's going to be on the grill. So if you're cooking at a little bit faster of a rate, let's say your temperature is supposed to be 425 and 450, you're okay. But for leaner proteins like chicken and fish, if you try bumping it to like 500, you're really going to pull it down, and it's going to stick, and it's not going to be very good, and I don't think you're going to enjoy it too
much. Well, I was thinking of like a roast. If you were to put a roast in sort of like a foil aluminum pan and put it in and try to cook it like a convection oven.
It would work the same. You're basically any recipe that you have that you were going to do in your convection oven, you can do on a grill. It's just the way that you set it up. So the per pounds, so like I'd say a chicken is 11 to 13 minutes per pound at 350. You bump that up to about 400, it's 9 to 12. But the faster you get it on, the quicker you get it off, you're going to maintain more moisture because meat has like 70 to 75% water.
Right.
So the longer it's on, the more moisture comes out, the more dry out it gets. Now, if you don't like who you're cooking for, keep it on there a little bit longer. Maybe they won't come back to your barbecue and you can save yourself that friendship. But yeah, anything that you can do inside an oven, you can do on a grill.
That is the science.
Meat
of
thermometer,
barbecue.
By the way.
Yes.
You got to have a good meat thermometer. What would you recommend?
So we have a Bluetooth device called iGrill that monitors your food wirelessly. It sends a Bluetooth connection to your phone, and so you can plug in anything that you're going to cook.
How great
is
that?
It then will give you a warning when it's 5 degrees less than the ideal temperature you want to take it off at.
It's wonderful.
And you can have more fun. So at your barbecues, you don't really have to stand there and like pretend like you're doing something.
No.
You can go
I feel like
life.
You're going to give Jane and I one of those. So I appreciate that. Thank you for that.
There's reasons why I'm asking if you can use the grill like a convection oven. I'm thinking already about what I'm going to make so I can save space and not heat up the kitchen.
I have a Weber Genesis. I haven't touched it since November. What do I have to do right now?
Best thing to do if you have any kind of gas grill, charcoal grill, you want to take it out, you want to take the grates out, you want to take the flavorizer bars out, see how much schmutz, grease, and schmutz is it's an official barbecue word. You want to kind of clean all that stuff out to the bottom tray and then throw that out.
Okay.
A nice stainless steel bristle brush will clean most of that debris that you have inside the grill out. And the key to that is the cleaner the grill is, the faster the air is going to move around the grill, which means it's the food's going to cook itself faster. So the more stuff, the more schmutz you have on it, it's going to slow down some of that airflow, and it's going to extend the amount of time that the food's going to be on the grill.
So bottom line, clean up the schmutz.
Clean up the schmutz.
What about the oven, if you use oven cleaner on the inside of the grill?
I wouldn't use any kind of oven cleaner inside the grill. I think the best thing to use is just a simple mild soap detergent. Scouring pad will clean most of that stuff off. I mean, I wouldn't treat it like you would inside. There's some chemicals in there that I would probably stay away from, especially if that stuff gets on your grill.
Gotcha.
You don't clean it off.
Makes sense. I love cleaning my grill. I love it.
So charcoal or gas?
It's like asking which daughter I love the most. It's just a very hard question to ask. Well, certain days I like one more than the other, but I mean, we have 54 grills at home on the record. So it's one of those that, I mean, I love the smell of charcoal. I love the ritual of that. But, you know, for anything less than 20 minutes, I would say gas because it's consistent. The heat is consistent. Food cooks a little more consistent. Charcoal is going to hit a peak and then start to taper off, so there's a little more adjustment to it. Mm-hmm. But the smell definitely in the air.
And you can get the flavored briquettes and kind of, sort of, get a little bit of that flavor, but yeah.
So what you're saying is buy them all.
I'm saying that you should definitely have more than one grill in your house.
You have more grills than I have shoes.
Let's go to Tony. Tony!
How are you doing, guys?
What is your question for Kevin Coleman from Weber? Go ahead.
I am trying to cook the perfect filet, and sometimes I get it almost there, but not quite, and other times I leave it on too long. What I'm doing is searing both sides about 3 minutes, like she said, to indirect heat, and I'm cooking that, and I use a meat thermometer, but what is the perfect temperature to take that off for, like, medium well and not making it too dry?
So what I would suggest that you do is you roast that filet first, and normally I like to keep... when I go to the butcher where I cut steaks, I like them to be the same size. So I like an inch and a half, give or take 2 inches when I'm cooking a filet. If I'm going to be doing it like you, I'm going to set my grill up for indirect heat. I'm going to have the grill somewhere at 450 degrees. I'm going to put the steaks over indirect heat for about 8 minutes aside, 8 to 10 minutes aside. That's going to be about 16 to 20 minutes total. Then I'm going to reverse sear it 3 minutes aside, because what happens if you put it over the sear first, the steak is going to contract and start pushing out some of that moisture, and that's part of the reason why it's dried out. So if you flip that in reverse, you're actually going to maintain more of the moisture content, and it's going to be
Makes sense. Now, let me ask you this. When I take it off the 5 degrees before and let it rest, is that covered or uncovered?
You can do either. We're doing a lot of steak cooking right now, so
I love these questions.
It's like,
man.
Chicago, you know. It's you got ketchup, you got mustard. I mean, this is what I would do. I would take it off the grill, put it inside, let it rest for 5 minutes. The moisture of that steak is going to get put back into it, and it's going to make it a little more tender. I would say also, make sure you're slicing against the grain. If you love fillets, slice a little bit of the edge off, and you can see where the grain is going. Turn your knife perpendicular and work your way back. It's going to make the muscle fiber of that meat smaller, which is going to make it more tender and more flavorful.
That's nice. Tony, hold on. We're going to set you up with a meatsrus.com $50 gift certificate. You can buy your meat online. How about that? The way that I make salmon is I put the salmon in foil, and I let it cook in some lemon juice, and then I sear it at the end so it doesn't dry out on the grill. Am I doing it right?
It really depends. If you do skin-on salmon, the lemon juice is a good equalizer, so any of that excess fishy smell you might have coming from any type of fish.
Well, I like the lemon flavor, too.
Well, sure, but it's going to take away that smell, but it's also going to provide you that flavor. So what I would do is, if you like doing it that way, I would cook it indirectly with the skin on, and then you get your spatula, you come through, take it off, and then turn it right over on a burner that's already on, that's direct heat, and sear. Okay. The foil makes sense a little bit, but I'm not a big fan of cooking with foil.
You know what? You frowned when I said foil. Did you notice that?
He did the little
furrow. He looked at me like you're a piker. What are you doing? You don't know what you're doing. I'm the grill master.
We just got to reprogram you a little bit.
But that sear is a quick sear.
Yeah, it's probably, well, with fish, you have to be really careful. So if you use your lemon juice, you're going to have to put a little light coating of olive oil on there because you want that to hit first. You want that to provide a little bit of lubrication on it. Helps caramelize faster, and then it comes off, and you're not going to leave half of it on the grate.
Got it. Let's go to...
I can hang out with you for an hour.
Rick.
I know. It's just one hour. Questions.
Rick, you're on with Kevin Coleman from Weber. What's your question?
Good afternoon, everybody. My question is, I don't know how often I have to change those flavorizer bars. I got a new grill last year, and they seem to be in good shape. I don't know if there's a time period if they have to be changed out.
it's a fantastic question. So until you have actual pitting, which you'll have some holes start to form in the flavorizer bars, there's no reason to replace those. But what I would say is we are creatures of habit when we grill. So usually you like to put everything in the center. So in the springtime, when I get my grills out, I'll take the flavorizer bars that are in the center and I'll move those to the outside, and I'll take the outside and move them in, because you can also have some longevity there because they haven't really been cooked on.
Okay.
Good idea. Thank you.
Rick, hold on the line. We're going to set you up with a $50 gift certificate to Meats R Us. Let's go to Dave on line one. Dave.
Hi, Dave.
We're talking grilling.
Greetings and salutations.
We're talking grilling with Kevin Coleman from Weber. Go ahead.
Well, I've tried something different. How about, is there any way you can cook corned beef out on a grill other than, you know, there's the old boil and bake, or bake it in the oven? But for the summer, maybe you like to do it when it's a little cooler, you know, so it's not heating up the house.
Yeah, that's one thing that we spent some time down with a guy named Russell Ragles at Ragles Barbecue in Houston, who's in the top 50 now. There's 2,000 barbecue restaurants in Texas. So he's taught us how to do corned beef, which we do a pastrami, which is smoked. So corned beef is going to be something that's boiled or steamed inside. You can do the same thing out on your grill at 225 to 250. Do it low and slow. You'll get a beautiful color, beautiful smell to it, and you won't have the inside of the house getting done. So you'll actually, it'll taste much better because you're going to have it in the elements where the rub starts to caramelize and everything else, as opposed to boiling it like you would, or steaming it like you would corned beef.
Dave, hold on. We'll set you up with a $50 gift certificate. I love talking grilling. I mean, who knew?
Apparently everybody else does too.
Wow.
I have a million questions. You're going to do another one?
Yeah, go ahead. What do you got?
No, I want to keep reading what everyone else is writing.
Fred, you're on WGN. You're on with Kevin Coleman from Weber Grills.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm in the process of converting my my grill to natural gas. And my question is, what should the pressure regulator be set at?
Oh, it depends on the grill that you have. Normal grills are running about 7 inches of water column pressure. If it's a larger gas grill, I would say 70,000-80,000 BTUs or more, you're probably going to have to be about 4 inches of water column pressure. But a lot of that stuff
actually, we've downsized to a 2-burner grill. And I know, like, the furnace is at 3.5 inches on the stove, but I was just curious about the regulator on the grill.
Yeah, I would say you need to be about 7 inches of water column pressure for a 2-burner grill.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, but I want one.
I don't either.
I know.
So different language to me.
Fred, hold on. We're going to set you up with a $50 gift certificate. You can get some meat from meatsrus.com.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Fred. What about seasoning? What do you use? What's your go-to
Wait. Seasoning go-to, but is seasoning the most important part of grilling?
Well, when I break down grilling, I like to do it in my 4 pillars. So get a really good grill, know your grill, know your meats, where you're getting it from really matters. Your seasoning, and then you're going to be your methodology and how you grill it.
Okay.
So if you have a really good grill, not so good meat, really good seasoning, and a really good methodology, you could have a good chance of something coming out. Mm-hmm. So it's part of a smaller equation that's going to get you success. But yes, seasoning really is going to matter, especially how to get food to pop. And I mean, what's the best time to put it on? What's the best ratio of salt to things that you're putting it on? I mean, you talk about marinating. The only thing that's penetrating meat and protein on a molecular level is going to be salt and water, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure you're salting things 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours before you put them on, because you want the salt to get into the protein and give it more flavor.
Do you rub it in there?
You can. It depends on what you rub it.
Yeah.
Well, there's a rub, or you can just sprinkle salt on it and let it sit.
You could do that. Sometimes, depending on the rub, some rubs I have that have no salt because I'm salting really early.
Yeah.
And then I finish it with the pepper blends or the brown sugar blends, whatever we're going to be using. But definitely salting something before you cook is going to help, because you need that to get inside to give it more flavor.
New York strip. You put it on the grill. What kind of seasoning are you putting on it? Salt and pepper?
I'm a salt and pepper guy, but we use 4 different grinds of pepper. We use a fine coarse, extra coarse, and cracked. The reason why we use the extra coarse and cracked is because it's larger, and so the fat gets into it and starts to release more of that flavor onto it. And I finish with a little brown sugar, so that way it caramelizes and kind of tones down the pepper. But yeah, mostly salt and pepper.
Okay. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, and we have 3 people that made it on the line. They got $50 gift certificates to Meats R Us. Thanks again to Victor over at International Meat Company. You have a grill that you're going to give us to give away.
I do have a 22.5-inch charcoal grill that we're going to be giving away to one lucky listener.
Okay, so the 3 people that won, we're going to pick a winner out of those 3 during commercial break. We'll name the winner when we come back. Okay?
Can they get a thermometer, too?
I'll throw one of those
All
in,
right.
too.
All right.
I like
Just
that.
Just because you had the first question.
Thank can you. We follow you on Twitter, Kevin Coleman,
yeah,
with
so
a K?
You can follow me on Twitter. It's Kevin Coleman. Twitter, Instagram is Kevin Coleman. And then on Facebook, it's Weber Grillmaster.
K-O-L-M-A-N.
Yes.
Okay, Kevin Coleman on Twitter. I'm going to follow you during the commercial right now. So, Elif, I'm going to go to a break, and then we're going to take those three winners, pick a winner for the grill, too.
All right. The grill and the thermometer.
Cool?
I'm trying to
and
pack,
the thermometer.
I'm trying to add value to our winner.
Elif's looking at me like, I need John Williams back. Where is John? All right, it's 720 WGN. Kevin Coleman from Weber Grills in studio with us. Thanks again to Victor. MeatsRUs.com. Meats, the letter R, us.com is where they gave us the $50 gift certificates for...
You just buy your meat online.
Rick, Fred, and Tony, and congratulations to Tony. We picked his name during the break. Tony picks up what kind of grill?
He's getting a 22.5-inch Weber charcoal grill, which is perfect for this type of weather that we're having today. Maybe not tomorrow, but today.
Really?
And all summer long.
Yeah, nice. And all summer long.
And you have an event coming up.
We do have an event coming up. So May 4th, we're going to be partnering with Ace Hardware. So we're having a huge barbecue fest across the United States. We'll have Weber Grill experts at about 100 stores nationwide giving out tips, tricks, teaching people how to grill better. We're going to have 16 of them here locally, which is pretty exciting. So I believe if they go to the WGN radio website, the addresses of those places, of those stores are going to be on there, and it's going to be a great weekend for barbecue.
You're going to be out at Manfredini's place?
I don't know if I'll be out at Manfredini's place, but I might be out there somewhere.
Mr. Fix-It knows a lot about grilling.
Yeah, Lou is definitely a very passionate griller. I know he's a big Weber fan. Bunch of knowledge. I've been able to do some fun things with him with Ace, so he's definitely a larger-than-life personality.
God, it's great to see you.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for stopping in. Great answers to all of our questions.
Wow. And
don't give Pete your phone number, because he will text you later.
That was my next question, but I'm following you on Twitter.
No. Twitter's good. I can give it to you off the air, because I don't need the whole Chicagoland area trying to get
Why
a hold
not,
of
me. Why not, man? Can you give us grill tips? I feel like I need a go-to grill guy.
Well, you got one now. Everybody's got to have a guy, especially right. in Chicago, so now you got yours.
So you're going to give me your cell phone before
I will
you
give
go?
It to you.
I appreciate that. Kevin Coleman.
Romance
from
based off of barbecue.
I'm
going to
warn you what's happening next, Kevin.
And I have the Weber Genesis, which I've been very happy with. How many propane tanks before you go? How many do you have at your house?
I have 8 right now. But again, 54 grills isn't normal either. So I'm just...
So not normal. But you are who you are. I don't even know what the thermometer is on the grill.
I am who I am. I'm here to help you. That's it. I'm a facilitator of fun.
Thank you, buddy.
You are.
Thank you.
What is happening this weekend? And that music means something. Elif, who is playing this weekend?
Nico Case will not be playing, but she'll be signing at Reckless Records at the new Belmont location tomorrow from 2 to 3:30.
It's Belmont in what? Reckless Records opened a place at Belmont?
Yeah, it used to be on Broadway.
Broadway near Belmont.
And it moved to Belmont somewhere else in Lakeview.
Probably right around the corner, I would say.
Yeah.
When did it move?
Like a couple months ago, I want to say.
Oh, because Reckless Records has been around forever.
Yeah.
I usually go to Record Store Day. I missed it this year. Did anybody buy any records?
No.
You know who buys a lot of records? Our friend Patrick Berger.
Really?
He has, his whole basement is full of records, so I'm sure he bought records.
I'd go to Record Store Day and buy the limited edition records, and they would sit in my basement. And you know what? It made me happy.
Do you even have a record player?
I don't. And I know the purists are saying,
what? You're in radio. You used to play music.
I know. I love music. But I just don't have time to pull the thing out and put it on a record player and then put a penny on top of the needle.
This is a problem I don't want to hear about.
Hook it up to speakers and get the amp going.
It's fun.
I don't have time for that. Who's the name? Who's this woman again?
Nico Case.
Nico Case.
Okay. Of course it's Nico Case. Who doesn't know that?
Trevor Noah is playing at the United Center tomorrow night. Does that name ring a bell? He's the host of The Daily Show.
Oh, wait, he's playing?
Well, he is doing
he's performing.
Stand-up tomorrow night at the United Center. I saw The Daily Show when they came to town at the NAMM Theater on the corner of Lincoln and Southport, I want to say a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was great.
That's why he's at the United Center now.
Yeah, very funny. Mm. Loved him. Okay, Jane?
Do I get to just pick one of these?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You can
goodness.
Let the music play. I kind of like that.
Yeah, I liked it, too. It makes It's like movement. It's like, Nico, we're going out.
What's her name? Nico what?
Case.
I think I'm going to have to look this up. I like this.
This is where I'm going to be this weekend. The one-of-a-kind show at the Merchandise Mart. Yeah.
No.
They used to only do it in December, and now they do an April show. It ends at 8 tonight, then 10 to 7 tomorrow, 10 to 5 on Sunday. Free for kids and adults. Tickets start at $12. I'm telling you, if you love artisans and artistry and handmade, this is the place to go.
When we worked in the Mart, this
I would sneak out of the radio show and go there.
People go crazy. They come in from the suburbs for this sale, the one-of-a-kind sale at the Merchandise
Mart. It is a full city block because it takes up the entire, I think, 7th or 8th floor. I'm not really sure of the Merchandise Mart.
Yeah.
It is a full city block of handmade, and there's food. And there's home decor items, there's clothing, there's jewelry, there's kitchen stuff.
There's actually places now to hang out in the Merchandise Mart. Remember when we worked there, It was a dump.
It's really nice on the first floor.
It was a toilet. Yeah. Now it's very nice.
This is a really nice event.
Yeah. Ella, what else do we have this weekend?
Oh, okay.
How about Randolph Street Market?
I was going to say that.
That was my second favorite.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites on this list.
I feel bad because this is a nice event, and it's going to snow tomorrow and be rainy.
Well, is it there?
Well, no, in the evening it's going to snow. It's supposed to snow after 10.
But the Randolph Street Market isn't always outside. It's inside the hall. And then in the summertime, they bring it outside. So is this one inside or outside? Or they kind of just guess on the weather?
More info at randolphstreetmarket.com.
Yeah.
I didn't look into that.
It's okay. This is a great market. So it's sort of like vintage stuff and antique things. If you're a picker, it's a good place to go, although I think the people have already picked it. But if you like that sort of motif, that's...
Do you go to that?
I love it. Are you kidding me? It's so fun.
I agree with you on that.
Stalls. There's vintage jewelry, and you can get crystal. It's kind of like going to a gigantic garage sale.
Yeah.
So I think it is indoors because everybody knows Chicago is still cold and even the beginning of May or end of April. So that's tomorrow and Sunday starting at 10, and it's at 1341 West Randolph Street. Tickets are $10 for adults and free for kids. And again, randolphstreetmarket.com.
Got it. And the White Sox are home against Detroit, right?
I drank out of my White Sox coffee mug this morning.
Did you?
I did.
Our good friend Andy Mazur doing the pregame. For the White Sox. Of course, right here on 720 WGN.
I'll be listening.
Sox Detroit guaranteed rate field. Always fun. Anything else?
Lauren?
Well, there are a lot of things going on this weekend outside, as you mentioned. I don't know if anyone's going to brave the weather, but there's a Race to Wrigley 5K tomorrow morning.
Is that this weekend?
Yeah, a lot of closures for that, so that's how I knew about that one. but also the wine tasting at the zoo. You can sample wine, hear live music, and buy food at Chicago Wine Fest at Lincoln Park Zoo. But yeah, outside. So
where are you running to? Where are you running from?
Race to Wrigley is great because it starts near Wrigley, and the finish line is the concourse. You run inside Wrigley Field. I've done it numerous times.
I haven't looked at the specific route, but there's closures on Addison, Ravenswood, Irving Park, and Sheffield. So all around there. Those kind of parts.
That's fun.
It's an exact square, Lauren. You got it. So you run up Addison to Ravenswood. And,
there you go. Just keep it simple.
What is it? 5K.
Yeah, 5K.
Yeah, it's
simple. That's great. And then you can go have some wine.
Exactly. Treat yourself.
Aren't you going to ask me why I'm not running in it? Tweaked my knee, Jane. Got to get it cleaned.
Everybody's heard about your knee.
Got to get it cleaned out.
I thought you didn't have another pair of gym shoes that you wanted to wear to the race.
No, I would love to run.
It's okay. I'm not running because I can't run for the life of me.
Why? What happened?
Because she only runs when being chased.
No, I just can't. I don't know why. I run out of breath after 2 minutes.
Really?
It's all about conditioning. If I can run a 5K, anybody can.
I could do any other cardio but running. It makes no sense.
You just have to put your head in a different place. I don't really like to run either, but I do it.
I think I just don't know how to breathe when I run.
Nobody likes to run. I mean, let's face it. Do we really like to exercise?
Yes.
Nope. I honestly
have the same theory.
I mean, you know, I exercise because I like to drink beer on the weekends.
I love to exercise. I don't love to run, but I do it because I don't know what else to do.
Well, I think you can make running really fun in the summer when you can go outside.
Right. And you have a lot of things to look at.
Yeah, exactly. And you feel good and
I don't know. It also hurts my knees.
Yeah, the knees thing.
I'm 29. That shouldn't be a problem.
Did I mention I got a knee thing? I got to get it cleaned, tweaked it. You don't care. You've heard about it. You're enough.
I don't have anything to say. I don't think your knee hurts. I think it's all in your head.
It is.
I think that our brains are the biggest virtual reality machines. And if anything aches when we're running, it's because we made it up.
I'm an athlete.
But I also do host Living Healthy Chicago, so we want you to run.
Have you ever had Dr. Michael Terry, the Blackhawks doctor who's worked on my knee on the show?
We may have, but you always talk about him. So if you have a knee problem, you say, I don't have a knee problem, but you said if I did, I should go there.
Right. I got a guy.
You got a guy.
Yeah. It's Chicago. I got a guy. So that's what's happening this weekend. Okay?
All right.
It's Pete and Jane in for John Williams at 720 WGN. We are giving away two limited edition The Bright Side pins to keep or share with a friend to brighten their day. It's presented by the Joint Relief Institute. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain. And Jane, who are they? Who receives the Bright Side pin?
This week's online winners are Sarah Fairbanks Duffy. She says, the wonderful people taking care of adults with disabilities at Seguin, United Cerebral Palsy of Greater Chicago. It's like family and the wonderful people with disabilities that allow us to care for them and bring smiles to our faces. That's wonderful.
I love it.
And then also Jennifer Phillips. She says, I'm in my late 40s and had my share of bad bosses. I've been working for my current boss for 5 years. She truly appreciates me and lets me know on a regular basis. I am blessed. That is wonderful,
gosh.
Jennifer.
I love that. That's fantastic.
Jennifer and Sarah. You have one?
Bright Side pins. No.
Oh, okay.
You have the only two that we gave away. Where can people register for these, Elif? They just go online, WGNradio.com.
Every Wednesday, we post a little promo with the picture of the Bright Side pin, and we say, share your bright sides in a comment below on Facebook.
All right.
Good. Very good. This is great. Sarah and Jennifer.
Thanks
for sharing.
Joint Relief Institute, 708-888-0000, as in zero pain. Yes. NFL draft happening this weekend. The number one selling jersey in the NFL right now is Tom Brady.
Of course it's Tom Brady.
Yes. What is number two?
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees is number 10.
Oh.
It's a good guess. He's in the top
Mahomes.
10. Dak Prescott. Quarterback for the Cowboys. Who is number three? Quarterback. Eagles. Carson Wentz?
Oh, Carson Wentz.
Why?
I don't know if I believe that. Carson Wentz is number three.
It's the Eagles. That's why.
Number four, Ezekiel Elliott from the Cowboys. The number five selling jersey, Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the Chiefs.
I was close.
Very likable guy. Number six, Saquon Barkley of the Giants, running back. Number seven, Aaron Rodgers, Packers.
Oh, I thought he would be way higher on the list.
I did too, but they've had some bad years. Number eight, Deshaun Watson, quarterback, the Texans.
Number nine, Mitchell Trubisky, Chicago Bears.
Number nine, Khalil Mack.
Oh.
Number 52, Chicago Bears.
Where is Trubisky?
Trubisky is number 19.
Okay, he hit the top 20.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's pretty impressive.
Really good.
Baker Mayfield, number 12. Odell Beckham, number 13. Russell Wilson was way down the list. But Mitchell Trubisky, number 19.
I bet you there'll be more of those this year.
Does anybody have any jerseys in their closet besides me?
Devin Hester.
Devin Hester, number 23. You still have it?
Yeah, orange.
Okay. That's still okay to wear.
Yeah, but I don't really wear it too much.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer when you have the jersey and then the person leaves. I had a Kyle Orton jersey.
Well, now, what? Mr. Neckbeard?
A long time ago. Or maybe it was a Grossman jersey.
What? Kind of in the same category, but Rex took us to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He did. Remember, Rex is our quarterback?
Rex is our quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw a Kyle Orton jersey walking down the street the other day. It was a very large, oversized jersey on a tiny little lady. And then I thought to myself, whoever owned that jersey, it ended up on this woman walking down down the street in Roosevelt.
Went to the Goodwill and
somebody picked
they're
it
wearing
up.
The jersey.
Or they just threw it out the window
I can't remember. What was Kyle's number? 10?
Six.
Number six.
Six or eight. No, Rex Grossman was eight.
Yeah. Boy, that's good.
Why would I know that?
I have a Dick Butkus.
Oh, that's good.
Number 51. I have a 46, Doug Plank.
I have a 34.
I have a 63, Jerry Fontenot, who is a center.
Do you remember
back in the day?
Pete? Yes. It was years ago we worked together and at the Loop. And you went on a football jersey buying frenzy.
I was.
You ordered,
I get
like,
obsessed.
15 different jerseys.
Because we had a guy at the time that was buying these jerseys. They were perfectly...
Perfect.
Yes, they were perfect jerseys, but they were from China. And it just wasn't a factory in China. It was like a guy in his basement.
Hand sewing all the numbers.
So he'd have to send the money through Western Union.
Well, this part I don't know.
And we'd have to order the jerseys.
I remember.
I swear to God.
We're like in
these
the middle.
These jerseys, they looked authentic.
We're in the
That's
middle of
That's what was
a
so
song.
Great. That's why we put up with it.
And Pete's on the other side of the table going, I think I should get a medium in this size. I'm going to get an extra large in this size. And
because they were $20.
No, I think they were $15.
$15.
You ordered, how many did you order that season?
Four.
No, that's a lie.
But we'd have to order them at the beginning of July so they'd show up on time in September.
That's
how long they took.
This just brings me to your shopping problem, actually. Are you going to buy jerseys this year? What are you going to buy today?
I have enough. What do I need?
You don't. You bought them all a couple years ago. Everyone's retired by now.
If you have Budkiss and you have Doug
you
Plank,
don't need anymore.
You're done. Mm. That's it.
What are you going to spend your money on, Pete?
Nothing.
Shoes.
I don't need to.
You're going to buy shoes.
No, I don't need any more.
No, because you bought some today.
Some shoes? Well, that doesn't count. I thought we were talking about jerseys.
We are talking about jerseys. Okay. I just wanted to turn it
you
into
You can never,
your,
I'm a jersey
your,
guy.
Your shopping problem.
And I know people make fun of guys that wear jerseys. I love jerseys.
Yeah,
make
do.
Fun of me all you want. I love what? Wearing my Doug Plank jersey.
Who makes fun of people wearing jerseys?
I love
jerseys?
Going to the Hawks game. Tony Esposito.
Yes.
I have a Tony jersey. I got a Jeremy Roenick number 27 jersey. Absolutely.
Oh,
I love
do you have
them.
Any jerseys?
None.
You can borrow mine.
Lauren's got a Devin Hester.
I have a gazillion hockey jerseys, though.
Right.
But how big are those hockey jerseys, Lauren?
They're big, but I often buy little boys large.
Oh,
they're
smart.
Cheaper, too, that way.
You can get smaller ones.
I have a hockey jersey. It's not fun to wear because it's so big.
You would think
like
that
wearing
we
a blanket.
Could get a Blackhawks discount on the jerseys.
The
There's got to be.
The big ones come in handy for outside games.
True.
Yeah.
Put that over the coat, and then you just look like a big cotton ball.
Love That's it. Great. Or you can borrow one from mine and just stitch it up and unstitch it.
This is true. I could actually probably stitch my own. I don't want to borrow a jersey. I like to just have my own, but I only want one from each team, and I want it to be relevant, so mm-hmm. I don't want that player to be gone unless
no,
it's a legendary player like Butkus. Yeah.
You go old school.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'd do probably a 35 Roland Harper for you. I think that would work for the Bears. You got to take a break. Anna and Roe are up next.